Welcome to Fun Friday, the day before Christmas Eve. We're so excited that you're joining us. Hope you're getting ready to have a great weekend. And as always, we like to go over some new movies. Tim Lammers is here. Our movie reviews are brought to you by Bradshaw and Bryant, Seeking Justice for the Injured. And you can learn more at MinnesotaPersonalInjury.com. Tim Lammers, what good, can we do this weekend?
Good freezing Friday to you, Kelly.
My face.
I didn't order this.
I can't even feel my lips. My lips are so dry and cracked, I feel like the Crypt Keeper.
Well, one way to remedy that, of course, is to go to a movie, take yourself away, get into a theater. If you can just bundle up before you head out. Got a new one in theaters this week called Babylon, which is a pretty big deal considering that the director and writer Damien Chazelle, he wrote and directed La La Land, won an Oscar for Best Director, also wrote and directed a wonderful film called Whiplash a couple years back. So the guy knows what he's doing here. Obviously, I think since he won the Best Director award, since he got Brad Pitt in his movie, since he got Margot Robbie in his movie, they said, oh, go ahead, make a movie over 3 hours if you want.
Oh, not another one.
Second week in a row.
Yeah.
This one is 3 hours and 9 minutes, 1 minute shorter than Avatar The Way of Water. Give me Avatar The Way of Water. I mean, at least visually, you're going to get a lot more out of it than you will this. Although, you know, look, it's about the 1920s. It's about the silent movie era coming to an end. You got Brad Pitt playing this silent movie star who basically knows his days are numbered. You have Margot Robbie, who wants to be an actress, needs to break into the business, and she literally stumbles into this huge career. So her career is on the rise. His career is on the downslide. He's more responsible than she is. She still lives life like a party. And apparently in the late 1920s, Kelly, there were a lot of strange things going on, a lot of decadence. You know, Brad Pitt's character throws parties where they have orgies and stuff like that. It's like, my God, was it really this way in the roaring 20s?
Yeah,
I don't know.
It?
I don't know if they made it up. I don't know if it's movie magic. It's very explicit. It basically portrays Hollywood, I guess, before, you know, the boom and bust, the depression, and the bust in some careers, because there were some people who were great silent stars who, for one reason or another, just couldn't cut it in the talkies. I don't know why Brad Pitt's character couldn't have, but you always had those actors who had a different voice than you ever would have imagined that just wasn't a voice for films. So, you know, so I'm fascinated in that sort of stuff. But again, at 3 hours, it is way, 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 way too long.
Were there lulls in the movie? Were there lulls where you're like, this doesn't need to be here?
Well, yeah, a lot of it. I mean, yes. I mean, where scenes drag on unnecessarily. The other thing is when you have those two, along with a good three or four other characters, five actually, including Gene Smart and including Tobey Maguire, you know, you go to their storylines, and before too long, it's like, you know what? I haven't seen Brad Pitt for a while. So all of a sudden, his storyline just sort of disappears and maybe loses momentum. So that's weird. I think this would have worked best if they would have compartmentalized it, maybe made it a limited series, three episodes, like a mini series, whatever. And then just focus on Brad Pitt, focus on Margot Robbie. The Tobey Maguire storyline is brief in terms, probably a half hour, but briefer than the others. But it's so wild because he's this drug-addled mobster, and that's where the movie gets really demented and really bizarre. There are no boundaries for this picture.
Wow.
They got all the time in the world to tell the story, and when they tell the story, they go for it.
Wow. Okay. You know, this reminds me of when you started saying Brad Pitt is there, and then when they wrap up the story, and then they kind of, he's gone. It's like, where's Brad? That's how I feel about Susan Sarandon in my TV show.
You good know, point.
What was it called?
Monarch.
Yeah, Monarch. I watched the whole thing because it was country music, and that I'm all about. But she was in like three episodes, and it was so weird how they did that, because, you know, I think that was filmed during COVID, and they just had to chop it up really weird. So you'd watch an episode, and you go the next week, you tune in, and you're like watching part of the same episode as the week before with a few more parts in it. And I'm like, what?
Yeah.
But Susan Sarandon was gone after three episodes, so it dropped out of the ratings like after a while. Like that, everybody wanted her.
That's a classic bait and switch move right
yeah,
there.
I didn't
you
like
know
that.
what? In fact, if I could just go off the subject for a minute, sort of. Apparently now fans of certain actors are suing studios saying this is false advertising because there was a movie called Yesterday about the Beatles. And it's not about the Beatles, but the Beatles music, I should say. And the actor, NRDR Moss, was in the trailer. Well, by the time they came out with the film, they cut her role out. So all of a sudden, these people that went to see Ana de Armas in the picture were left disappointed.
She wasn't in it at all?
It.
Not at all.
Right, right. So exactly. So you could see her on the DVD or whatever. You could see her in deleted scenes. But it kind of sounds like, you know, not quite that situation with Monarch. But again, you get into it as a fan, knowing you got a terrific actor like Susan Sarandon in it. And all of a sudden, boom, they're gone after three episodes,
yeah,
especially when it's built around her.
Yeah, it was all built around her. And then all we got was, well, mama said.
Yeah, so they reference her like she's there, but
and that's why everybody was kind of like, I'm not buying it, I'm out. And I stayed watching it for those who were staying there because I figured that was my job as I worked in country music. But anyway, I was disappointed. So in this movie, so Brad Pitt's there all along and all of a sudden, where'd Brad go?
No, not as well.
Okay.
In a way, yes. I mean, because, you know, they're just building different storylines. So you might see him and then he's gone for a while because all of a sudden we're seeing Margot's side of, you know, the story. And Margot and him, their paths don't converge right away.
Okay.
It takes a while, but they do eventually. So you need to build all those stories separately. So that's where the big absences in time come about.
Do
but
all
again,
the characters eventually converge?
Yes, they do.
Okay.
They
okay.
do. But you know, again, it's one of these deals where I did screen it at home because I belong to a critics association. So they sent us a lot of these movies ahead of time. So I didn't see it in a theater, but it's one of those deals where I kept looking at the time. And that's never that's never a good sign right there. Never.
You're interested and intrigued by it because of the content of what the movie is about in the 1920s.
Right.
And if that's actually the case in the way things were, I think it kind of was. I've seen some documentaries about the 1920s and the flappers and the craziness and how everybody was kind of experimenting and woohoo. And
yeah, it is about as wild and crazy as it gets. And
really?
Not only that, there's some deals where there's vomit in it, excessive all the sorts of things that go along with partying. It's like everything is excessive in this picture. There's another scene where they're pushing this elephant up a hill because at this wild party, naturally, you got to have an elephant, right?
Oh, of course, yeah.
Well, the elephant has to relieve himself, and somebody's in the way of that.
Oh, my God.
Do we really need to see this for a minute?
Really?
I mean, it is as excessive in so many different ways as it gets.
It was sort of like the director said, you know what? I've always had a dream that I would have an elephant in a movie, and I haven't yet, so I'm going to find a way to work an elephant in, and we'll make a bet that I do it. Like, he had a bet with somebody that could put it in the movie, and he did. Who knows?
Well, I dare you to run into a director to talk to a director who says my movie's too long.
Yeah.
They will fight for every single minute they can get. Now, if you're James Cameron and you got two of the three biggest films of all time, hey, give him the store. Let him do whatever he wants. He makes money for you. When it's another guy who won an Oscar, and believe me, I he's a great filmmaker, but boy, I think they just gave him too much leeway this time around.
Yeah, okay. Let's talk about Glass Onion. What is Glass Onion?
It is actually, the full title is Glass Onion, A Knives Out Mystery. So it is not a sequel to Knives Out, but you have the detective who's at the center of it all, the private detective, Benoit Blanc, played by Daniel Craig, who is trying to solve a murder. So in the first movie, it was about this successful author who died mysteriously and all of the members of his family were suspect. In this one, we have Edward Norton playing this tech billionaire, invites an old circle of friends to the island to play a murder mystery game when the murder turns real. And Benoit Blanc, just by pure happenstance, mistakenly invited to this gathering. So when there's a murder, he springs into action to try to solve the murder himself. So you got a great ensemble cast. So you have Edward Norton, Kate Hudson, Catherine Hahn, Dave Bautista, Leslie Odom Jr., just a great cast. And of course, Daniel Craig, who is terrific in James Bond, obviously, but really as Benoit Blanc too. He's a really terrific actor and funny. I mean, you get more comedy from him in a role like this.
Okay, so now is this in theaters or just streaming?
You know, it was in theaters because the Oscars, they got to qualify for awards consideration. It has to have a theatrical run, but they knew it'd do a little better than that. So it's in quite a few theaters. But basically, what they did was, you know, qualify for Oscars, and now it's coming to Netflix today. So, yeah, just in time for Christmas viewing. Yeah, so, you know, so you'll be able to stream that exclusively on Netflix today.
Okay, Babylon being released this time of year. Is this at any chance at any awards?
You know, it's trending that way, but I kind of tend to think that actors like to reward themselves. And since this is a movie about the industry, well, there you go. I think that's why. There's no question it's beautiful to look at, great cinematography, settings, acting. It has all that. But as a picture, again, way too long, way too bloated.
I don't know if I can go to two movies in a row and sit there for that many hours.
6 hours.
Yeah.
Avatar and this. Pick Avatar.
Yeah, I'm going to pick Avatar. I've already got plans to see Avatar with a girlfriend because
I don't
think I can drag Darren to a theater for 3 hours. Even if I said you can even have a beer at the Parkwood, you can have alcohol. He probably wouldn't. He'd have
Problem
to be.
Is, yeah. You're going to have to get up and go to the bathroom in the middle of it if you start drinking those beers.
Okay. So Babylon in theaters and The Glass Onion streaming.
On Netflix, yes.
On Netflix. All right, Tim, if we want to learn more about you, watch some interviews, hear some stories, directconversations.com.
That is correct. And for you, Kelly, wishing you a Merry Christmas. And hope you have a safe weekend at home. Just keep warm. And if you have to venture out, just bundle up.
Movie Reviews by Tim Lammers. It's brought to you by Bradshaw and Bryant, seeking justice for the injured. You can learn more at MinnesotaPersonalInjury.com.